Father, we thank you, Lord, for everyone that's here. We thank you for your people. Thank you for the entrance of your word brings light and gives understanding to the simple. We declare that that is so this morning. We thank you, Lord, for the promise that the Holy Spirit will bring to our remembrance the things that you have spoken to us in the past. Now we pray, Lord, that you indeed bring that to our remembrance this morning. We give you, Lord, the praise and the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So I want us to do a review of our epic series today. We have spent, you know, quite a bit of time in this series, several days, about a week already, maybe even longer that we have been talking about this. You know, so let's go through quickly and remind ourselves. And I'm hoping that people will participate today when we do the reviews, especially because that's the purpose of the room. It's not just for the same speaker to review everything. It's for others to do the review, you know, so that we know that we are catching and we are following and remembering, you know, what has been spoken or taught. Praise the Lord. So right away, we remember or should remember that the EPIC was given as an acronym, four letters there that would mean different things. We started the series by looking at the story of Solomon beginning to build. I think it started way back on the second day of February, because on the second day of that second month, we began to look at how Solomon began to build on that particular day. And the Lord gave it to us prophetically. So as we go through this today, I am going to moderate the room with questions and answers. I'm also looking for testimonies. Praise the Lord. So hopefully everybody will be ready to participate. I want everybody to engage. Speaking about engaging, well, one of the letters in the EPIC is engage, or E for engage, and P for push, I for increase, C for celebrate. So I cover that. That's my review already done. Now let's go back and get the whole room to engage. When we started, it is always important, you know, when we do a teaching that people remember or take notes of these scriptures because, you know, it is the word of God that is going to help you. It's the power of God is in the word of God. That's where it's going to help you, you know. So, from the beginning, when we were talking about engaging, there were several scriptures. So I'm going to just moderate and read through or lead us through this, and you can answer. Can open your mic and answer. Praise the Lord. So there were several scriptures where the Lord challenged the children of Israel that he was dealing with. He was trying to get them to the promised land. We know that he got them out of the land of Egypt by a lot of signs and wonders, and even the crossing of the Red Sea and so on. You know, but at times the Lord had to ginger them up and encourage them to go forward. And there were a few scriptures we read in Deuteronomy. We'll start there. Let's start with Deuteronomy. We read a couple of scriptures in Deuteronomy where the Lord was telling them to engage. So we're now on this topic of engage. And if anyone can remember some of the scriptures, you can read them out to us and say what it means to you on the subject of engage. Perhaps in Deuteronomy and elsewhere throughout the scriptures on the subject of engage. So again, we're doing I want to do an interactive review today where I ask questions, people give responses, and you can share the scriptures, give your explanation of it, give your testimony, or give something that goes in line with what we are asking. So the first question today is on the subject of engage. What are some of the scriptures that we looked at when we were talking about the subject of engage, how God tried to get the people to engage?
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Good morning. Good afternoon, everyone. I can attempt that question. And Deuteronomy 2:24, the Lord said, rise up, take your journey and pass over the river. Anon, behold, I have given into thy hand Sihon, the Amorite, king of Heshbon, and his land. Begin to possess it and contend with him in battle. So the Lord is telling them to arise and engage. That's a scripture that was given to us. Amen. Do you want more scriptures?
Thank you for that. Yeah, okay. If you have more scriptures, that's fine.
All right. Isaiah 49, verse 25. It says, but thus saith the Lord, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. For I will contend with him that contend with thee, and I will save thy children. So here the Lord is promising that he will contend. He's a contender. So engaging with those that contend with us and saving our children. So that's one of the scriptures. I'll let others speak, please. I'll mute here. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Lady Ebon. So we see the engaging there. The Lord telling us in Deuteronomy 2:24. Thank you for that scripture. It shows that, you know, you may not get the whole victory all at once, but you have to get in the fight. So basically, engage is to get in the fight. And he said, begin to process, you know, to possess. Not, you may not possess it all at once, but you got to begin to possess, and you have to contend in battle. That indicates to us that, you know, whosoever we're trying to get the victory from, they're not going to give it up easily. Nobody is just going to lay down. You know, it's going to be a fight. It's going to be a fight, but the Lord has given us assurance that we will win. So that's the part of the engage. Thank you so much for sharing. Anybody else want to share on the topic of engage? Any other thing that comes to mind? All right, we don't want long gaps in the recording because someone that listen later on, they'll say, oh, they will think the room is dead. So if you're going to speak, jump in right away, quickly. The engage lesson was actually a long lesson. We talked about the rules of engagement and what we needed to do. We gave about 7 different things there that you have to do when you're engaging. I know we did a review of the engage itself right after it, but it's only been a week and we need to remember. If we don't remember now, we're going to do it 2-3 months from now. So what are the rules of engagement? I mean, if a military group or a unit is preparing for battle or for a mission, what are the things that they must do? And what are the steps that we need to take as part of the rules of engagement. Anyone?
Well, I'll speak again. You must be ready to roll. You must be able to, you must be ready to fight. Just like you said, as in Isaiah 9 and verse 5 said, for every battle of the warrior is with confused noise and garments rolled in blood. But this shall be with the burning of and fuel of fire. So that's a very powerful scripture talking that the battle is not easy. Every battle is, you know, with confusion. Sometimes you may be confused, but then you must be ready to get ready and roll in the blood, you know, and really fight the battle. Yes. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities and powers and begin to fight the good fight of faith. Amen. I will meet here. Thank you.
Thank you, sir. Just a quick one. Right. According to the book of Jude, it said to us, Jude 1 and in verse 3, beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith which was once delivered unto the saints. So, as we have to contend as a believer, we must be able to contend to fight. The psalmist said, "He has taught our hands to war and our fingers to fight." So the battle has been won already by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself, and He has delegated His work into our hands, and He expects us not to be lazy, not to be sleeping in the marketplace, but to continue to contend earnestly, declaring His word. So as a contender, we must be able to declare the word of God. Of course, to know that one, the battle is raging, right? As in, we're in a battle warfare, we're in a warfare. It's a warfare. And that's why, like Mommy said in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, that we wrestle. So it's a wrestling. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but we wrestle against principalities, against power, against the rulers of this world, right? But the battle has been won already. However, the Lord expects us to continue to fight, to continue to declare the word of God against the power of darkness continuously. We should not hold our peace. We should continue to declare. So Jude was admonishing us as well that indeed we should earnestly, when he's talking about earnest, it's a continual process. Contend. We will not say because we contend yesterday, we're going to hold our peace today. No. Because the enemy themselves, they are organized. And Jesus Christ was telling us again in Matthew, he said, a kingdom that is divided against itself, a kingdom that is divided against itself shall not stand. Meaning that the devil has his own kingdom, right? And that they are united. So when we see from that teaching of Jesus Christ, we see that they are actually united. And the only way we can, you know, destroy them and destroy their influence or destroy their works is that we ourselves should know that the battle is raging. We're in wrestling. We're in a battle. But thanks be to God that God has won the battle for us and that we ourselves will continue to hold on to the word of God. The word of God is the sword of the spirit. Is we are guiding our loins. Because if you think about the armory that Jesus Christ, the apostle Paul told us in that Ephesians 6, the helmet of salvation, that our head is covered, we are saved. We have a breastplate of righteousness. We are not putting our hands on iniquity. We trust in the Lord and we do what is right. We do justice. And our loins are guarded with the truth. The truth is Jesus is the truth and that's the word of God. The truth will guard our loins. And we have a two-edged sword in our hands. We are able to cut across right and left. And our feet are not lacking the gospel of Jesus Christ, we are able to preach Jesus. So we are fully kitted to fight this war. So when the enemy comes like a flood, the Spirit of God lifts up, stands against him, knowing that he has won the battle for us. So we walk in this consciousness that we are in a war. However, the victory has been won, but God expects us to continually contend, to fight, and to know that we have won the battle. Thank you, sir. I'm going to yield my mic.
All right. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Sister Titilayo. Thank you, Lady Ebon, as well, you know, for your responses. Let me drop here the seven things that we mentioned about rules of engagement, unless somebody else still wants to speak. I was trying to bring Sister Choice up. She raised her hand. Anybody else try to get her up?
I did. Twice.
Yeah, so not sure what's going on. She has something to say, and we would like to her to be able to participate. Sister Choice, doesn't look like it's working to get you on. Sometimes you may have to exit the room and come back again. But we talked about the rules of engagement. I used the analogy of a special forces unit in the military preparing for a specific mission. You know, and then when they are pulled aside to prepare for that, there are a few things that they must know. Well, they got to know who they are. That's number one. You know, I mean, when they pull them together, they tell them who they are. You are the best of the best. You've been selected for this mission because you are the best of the best. And they might tell them, look, we're the Marines, or we're the, United States Army, or we're the this or that. And they just kind of try to pump them up on who they are. You know who you are. You're not just some random group. You're the best. You know, we picked you for this mission and so on and so forth. They must know who they are. Spiritually speaking, we need to know who we are. We also need to know whose we are. You know, whose army are we fighting? We need to do that. Number two, we got to understand the mission. You know, this is what they do when they bring them. You have to understand the mission. You know, what is it that we're supposed to do? Maybe they're going to go rescue somebody. Maybe they're going to do some targeted fighting somewhere. You know, but they've got to understand the mission. And number three, you have to know the enemy who you are fighting. In fact, when they go in, suppose they're supposed to go and rescue hostages and so forth. They have to be trained. They got some intelligence and they're training, you know, on the, how many hostiles are in the place. You know, are there any friendlies around? Are there any civilians? You got to know who you need to take out. You can't just go in there and take out everybody. Scripture talks about, you know, who we are fighting and who we are not fighting. You know, don't wrestle against flesh and blood. You got to know who your enemy is. That's number three. Number four. You have to prepare and train for the mission. Once you understand the mission and you know who the enemy is, you got to prepare and train for that mission. This is how they train them. They practice and train. You know, they may have to time the going and out. They have so many seconds that you got to go in there, retrieve, you know, the target. I mean, destroy the enemy and get out of there and make sure in the process you don't hurt any civilians. You know, but they have to practice that until they get it right. You know, maybe they only have, you know, 90 seconds and they have to practice it. And, if they take 95 seconds and the practice is not good enough, they keep doing it until they get it right. You know, we also must train and prepare for the mission. And we do that with the word of God. Understand, you know, how we can get the victory. Number five is you have to actually deploy. Once they have got their training, then they deploy and engage. You know, that's our word, engage again. You have to deploy. You can't just sit at home after you've trained. You got to go take the fight to the enemy. And number six, when you actually get into the fight, you must destroy and vanquish the enemy. Take no prisoners. This is what they do. You know, in order to release the captives, you got to vanquish the enemy. To take back what is yours, Jesus said in Luke 11 and 21, look, you got to go in there and bind the strong man, you know, and get, in order to get yours, you got to bind him, take him out, and get what's yours. Again, he said, you know, Matthew 11 and 12, you know, these people that are going to win victories like this, they are not weaklings in their mind. You know, they are strong. They are determined. The kingdom of God suffer violence and go in and take it. And once you've got once you have won the victory, let's say you're conquering new territory, And that's important because the Epic series, when we get to the push, it's about, you know, getting new territories. And once you get there and you get that, then you must put up your banner. That's what they do. They put up their banner to mark the place. You got to mark your territory. And then let the devil take what you have gained. Keep it. And so on and so forth. So those are the rules of engagement. And you can apply those, you know, spiritually speaking. And also even in our, you know, everyday lives, you can apply that. But we have to engage. We got to contend in battle. The victory, you know, there's no room for failure. You know, when they train them like that, there is no room for failure. Only one outcome is victory. So you must assure yourself that you're going in to get a victory. You train and you be sure that you're going to get the victory. In our case, the Lord has already given us the victory, but we got to go in our everyday lives enforcing that, doing what it takes, and also, you know, running the race according to the rules. Because there are rules of engagement. And we even talked about, you know, athletes that are contending. You know, for a track and field athlete, there are rules in the particular one that you're in. You know, it may be a race where you have to stay in your lanes. If you don't stay in your lane, even if you get to the finish line first, you may be disqualified. In fact, you will be disqualified. You know, so there are rules and so on and so forth, you know, when we engage. But it is important that we engage. We cannot get any victory if we do not engage. Arise. In fact, one time the Lord told them in Deuteronomy 1 and 6, you have dwelt long enough in this place. You need to get up and go forward and get some victory. Praise the Lord. So that's the E for engage. What about the P? Anybody wants to talk about the P, what it stands for? We spent quite a bit of time on that one as well. We're reviewing the Epic series, E-P-I-C. We've covered just now the E. Let's talk about the P. Anyone want to share on the P, what it might mean to you? What you remember from the lessons? Am I still audible? I lost.
Yes, you are, sir.
Oh, okay. I wasn't sure if I wasn't. All right. Looks like people are not speaking today. We got to move on with this lesson. We can't all just be silent. We talked about the P, pushing limits to new, old limits to new horizons. That may jar something in your memory. You know, we talked about pushing, you know, ourselves and recognizing the limiting factors and getting them out of the way. We even gave definition for push. We gave definitions for limits. We gave definition for horizons. You know, push, sometimes you have to move something out of the way with your hands by force. You know, to push something, you have to exert force on that object. You know, and to get them out of the way. We talked about limits, barriers. Is someone trying to speak? Someone's mic is open.
My mic is open, but I wasn't. I was trying to wait, and I.
Oh, okay. Well, if you want to speak, go ahead. I was speaking because nobody else was speaking. So go ahead if you want to speak.
Well, first let me apologize for interrupting you. I was trying to be ready, and I was over ready. So I give honor to the woman. I give honor to the pastor. I got here when
when we were ending engagement, and I was here for the push. And for the push, what I got out of it was that you were saying, you also mentioned the new horizons and lifting up and limits, you know, is a point that cannot be passed. It's to restrict. And with God, all things are possible. That's why we should push on. And you mentioned horizons in Genesis 13 and verses 14. And it says, we must push out what is holding us back. And say, we put limits on ourselves sometimes because of fear. So sometimes we stop the push because we're in fear of what could be on the other side of the push. So I'm just kind of ad-libbing and looking here. And then it says push to bring, I'm trying to say my whole, to bring prosperity. Pushing takes us out of our comfort zone. And that's something that I struggle with. I struggle with going outside my comfort zone. So right here is really, I have all the scriptures, but I haven't broken them down, to be honest. And since I've been on this line, there's been a lot of things going on. That's why I've been quiet for a while. So I'm going to let everyone carry on, but that's what I have. And also to push is to enlarge territory, to enlarge your ministry, whatever it is you need to push your way out of, or even push into. Sometimes we have to push into things too. We think about pushing away, but sometimes we have to push forward to the mark of the high calling. And that's what we really, or that to me, that's the biggest push we could ever sustain or try to sustain, is the mark to reach that perfection that God is found us qualified and found us worthy. Oh, yeah, go babash. Found us worthy. And that to me is push, you know, and we push every day. We push through our job, we push through traffic, we push, but we have to have a sound mind at all times as we push. We have to know why we are pushing. We have to know what direction we are pushing. And we have to know our motive. Sometimes our motives are meant well, but sometimes, you know, our motives can fall short of the push. So that's really, I'm going to release my mic. That's all I can say about that right now that I'm led to say.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Patricia. Well, yeah, you did hit on some good points there. Sometimes we got to push against things that are holding us back. And sometimes we got to push ourselves forward. Paul talked about in Philippians chapter 3, he said, not as though I have already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after. If I may apprehend that for which I'm also apprehended in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3 and 12. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. You know, forgetting those things behind, I reach on. In other words, he's not resting on his oars, but he's going to press forward for more victories. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. I press. It's always pressing. We talk about, expanding our limits. Isaiah 54 and verse 2 talks about, you know, breaking forth on every side, enlarging, you know, your coasts, and also pushing out limits. And some of the artificial boundaries that we, you know, use to hold ourselves back, all the limiting factors and so on, like fear, unbelief, you know, and, you know, doubting our, you know, abilities and doubting even God. And we got to strengthen ourselves with the, you know, with the inner strength that we can do this. And when God says you can, we got to say, yes, we can. and not say we can't. And the one classic example, which Sister Patricia also alluded to, was the fact that the Lord brought Abraham out and told him to look as far as he can see. You know, and a powerful lesson in that is because the Lord said, you know, what you can see is what I can give you. And so we got to increase, you know, the line of our line of sight. Sometimes you can't see very far because there are obstacles in your line of vision. You get those things out of the way so you can see, or you rise higher above them so you can see above them. And there are a lot of things to be said about pushing out old limits and not allowing ourselves to be held back. We talked about complacency and, you know, how we must overcome that, not to sit in one place and fold our arms, but to get up. There were a lot of scriptures that we looked at. Does anybody remember any of the scriptures that may support the push lesson? Pushing limits, old limits to new horizons. Scriptures that talked about not folding our arms, but pressing forward. Anyone might remember any of those scriptures?
It's me again. I wrote them down. I did not expand on them, but the one that really struck me when I was listening to you was Isaiah 54:2-3, to enlarge, to push. That was one. Ephesians 2, chapter 2:8-9, 2 Peter 1:5. I believe it's Deuteronomy 2:24, and then 1:6, Joshua 1:3, and 1:2. So that's what I got. There's a bunch of them. The pushing is John 8:4, Psalms 56:3, Psalms 118:10, Isaiah 60, verse 22, Genesis 1:12, Matthew 13:31. So unless I'm reading it, I'm just telling you that I have it. I just haven't broke them open yet. So my mind has really been put in another direction maybe. So, but I do have them. I just haven't meditated on the scriptures. I yield my mic.
All right. Thank you, Sister Patricia, again. Well, having them is a good thing. Somebody once said that the faintest ink might be better than the best memory sometimes. When we write it down, it'll help us. You know, sometimes memory fades. You can go back and look it up. So thank you for writing those things down. I mean, just share a few of the scriptures as she alluded to. The Isaiah 60:20 talks about, you know, a small one becoming a mighty one, a small one become a nation, a little one become a thousand, and so forth. Things that start small, you push them, you know, then you get more. And we've got to push our limits. We talked about there are some stories that that we saw in the gospel of, you know, how to push, you know, launch out. Jesus said in Luke chapter 5 verse 4, launch out into the deep and then cast your net down. Don't just stay here, launch out into the deep. I mean, Jesus, you know, gave that lesson. We talk about being at ease in Zion. These are some of the things we talked about when we were talking about complacency. Amos chapter 6 verse 1. Woe unto them that are at ease. Let's not be at ease, but let's push so that we can get the victory. And God has promised us, you can see more, you'll get more. So that was pushing limits. We also invite people to go back and listen to the replays in case you need to remind yourself of some of these things. Praise the Lord. New horizons. You know, we can't always just sit down at the same place. You know, this is the very reason why students must keep going higher. You know, you can't be in grade school forever. When you finish that one, you got to go on to the next level, and so on and so forth. And such is life. You know, we got to keep on going on to the next level. We cannot say that we have already attained and therefore just stop. Let's keep on moving. There's always more from the Lord. Praise the Lord. All right, so that's the push. And then we talked about the I, which is for increase through inspiration. I think we spent a lot of time on that one as well. You know, how God promises to give us inspiration, and that this increase that we are expecting will come by inspiration this year. We talked about this year being a year of increase. But all the things that God is saying to us is how we can get that increase. Because he wants us to get it. There's parts that we have to play, parts that he has to play. So while we were talking about increase, we looked at some stories that involved participation of the people. And we talked about some lessons in the scriptures where, you know, God was going to do something to solve a particular problem at hand, but the person had to get involved, or the people had to get involved and do something, you know. So anybody remember any of the stories we talked about there?
Yeah, Pastor, we talked about Joshua, and I believe you went on Joshua, the 6th chapter, in verse 1. Because that's where it talked about increase comes by inspiration, and inspiration of the Almighty. And God gave Joshua specific instruction on how to take down Jericho. Joshua, the 6th chapter, verse 1 says, "Now Jericho was straight shut up because of the children of Israel. None of them went out and none came in. Unto that, and the Lord said unto him," in verse 2, unto Joshua, he says, "See, I have given unto thine hand Jericho and the king thereof and the mighty men of valor." So the Lord had given it to them, but there's some specific steps and things that he had to do to take it down. And I believe you also talked about you know, we talk about, of course, how he walked on the 6th day, on the 7th day, you know, when they shouted, he was telling the people, don't do anything, you know, just march and don't do anything. But on the 7th day, you know, listen to my instruction and follow that. And you were talking about how God has specific strategies that we have to, you know, take heed to. And if we do, we'll be successful. I think another thing I put on my note is the Lord will show you where. My alarm is going off. And also in First Chronicle, the 14th chapter. Let me see what I have there. First Chronicle, the 14th chapter, verse 9. Chapter 14, 9 and 11, you went there. Chapter 14, 9 and 11. "And the Philistine came and spread themselves in the valley of Ephraim. And David inquired of God, saying, shall I go up against the Philistine, and will thou deliver them unto my own hand? And the Lord said unto him, go up, for I will deliver them into thy hand. So we see here
that David inquired of the Lord, and God told him what to do. The Lord said, "Yeah, you go right ahead because you will overtake them." But you also talked about how in verse 14 he inquired of the Lord again. Verse 14 said, "Therefore David inquired again of God, and God said unto him, Go not up after them, turn away from them, and come upon them over against the mulberry trees." So God is showing, if we pay attention and listen and ask God what to do, he will show us. And sometimes it's not the same way, because the enemy already kind of know what you plan on doing. And God wants us to be ahead of that, ahead of him, and be able to show the Lord, don't do it that way. But this is how I want you to do it this time. And the Lord gave him different strategy. And, so he could win the battle this time. And then also, also telling us, God has different ways of doing things, and not always have to be the same way. But if we give heed and pay attention and listen to God, he will show us exactly what to do. And then you also talk about First Kings 17 chapter, speaking about increase. You also talk about First Kings 17 chapter. Let me see if I can go there and see what it's saying to us. 17th chapter, and you're talking about, I think verse 4, let me see, and it's dealing with Elisha, the man of God, and when God gave him instruction of what to do, and he went, God told him where to go, where he will feed him. He says, "And it shall be that thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there." So God gave him instruction where to go. And when he gets there, God told him what he's going to do. So it was all by the inspiration of God that he will know what to do. And that will preserve his life. And not only himself. And sometimes we don't understand why God tells us to do things. But if we just follow his instruction, in the end, we'll have that aha moment. Oh, okay, God, this is why you did such and such. Because sometimes it just seems so strange and weird. It's like, you know, you can go on a path and you can just go straight on that path to get where you're going. And then, sometimes that happens to us when we're driving and something say, "Oh, well, make a left." And then you're talking to yourself. It's kind of like the GPS sometimes is telling me where to go. Well, I already know where to. I know. But the GPS is making you, turn. And you're thinking, no, I know where I'm going. I know it's straight ahead. I don't need to turn. And you're like, no, I'm not turning because I know where I'm going. But anyway, I say that to say sometimes God tells us to turn. But we think, oh, I already know where this is going. I know what I'm going to do. But if we are led by his inspiration and guided by him, we will make that turn. And when we make that turn, we see, oh, wow, okay, Lord, it was you speaking to me, So it's the same thing here with Elijah. The Lord told him, you need to, he dry up the brook, and he told him, you need to get up. He gave him another instruction to get up and go. And I believe in verse 9, let me see what it says. It says, "Arise, get thee to Zarephath, which belonged to Zidon, and dwell." Commanded a widow woman to sustain thee there. So it was like a twofold, because this woman here, as you stated, and also in when we read the scriptures, that sometimes we pray and we glad God, and God sent an angel, God sent help, and she was getting herself ready, eat the little bit she had left, her and her son, and to die. And the Lord said, not so. The Lord spoke to Elijah, not only he was going to still sustain Elijah, take care of Elijah, but he was going to also take care of this woman, because he sent Elijah to speak into her life. So God wanted to save her. Hallelujah. So we see here our God is a good shepherd. So you talk about more and everything, talk about the little boy with the lunch and so forth and so on. But I'm going to stop there and let somebody speak. But one thing I did put on my note, and I put it all in cap because that was so important to me, where you talk about there is increase coming, but it will happen in my hand. So I just thank God for the word. So I will yield my mic there. That's what I have in my note in regards to that letter.
All right. Thank you, Sister Santana. A lot of good shares. I'll start with the last one that you said. God will put increase, put it through your hands. Well, that was from the story of the little boy's lunch and what Christ did, when they gave it into his hands. What did he do? All he did was bless the thing, but he gave it back to the disciples. He never fed the multitudes himself. Even though the scripture records the miracles as Christ fed 5,000 and 7,000 and these 4,000 and all of that, it really wasn't Christ that did it. It was the disciples. He just put a blessing in the thing and put it back in their hands. The God will put a blessing in it. Whatever is in your hand, what is in your hand? God will bless you, but you're going to have to do, the dishing out. And the increase was actually happening, we talked about that, in the hands of the disciples. The bread and the fish was multiplying in the hands of the disciples. We also talked about, God, if you know how to give it away, that's an important lesson. And, in the lesson of increase, if you know how to give it away, if you're trained on how to give it away, God will always make a way to get it to you. God is not looking in the New Testament for people who are going to hoard everything for themselves. We compared the lessons of the Old Testament, tremendous increase in the lives of some people in the Old Testament that God wrote, written for us in the Bible. But we don't see that focus at all in the New Testament. It's not that there were any rich people, but the focus was kind of different. It wasn't about each man for himself like it was in the Old Testament. In the early church, it's more about, those that had excess, they were able to, bring and share and get, others up as well, and God is looking for, I talked about kingdom financiers, those that understand the principles of the kingdom of God now. A lot of people don't. And that's why, James was saying, look, you ask and you don't get it because you ask amiss. And sometimes you ask to consume it upon your own lust, and God's not going to give it to you like that. The real riches, the real increase that God's bringing must come to those who understand what God is doing. You don't have to be in the kingdom of God to be blessed. People in the world are already blessed. But in the kingdom, the rules are different. So what do we want people to understand? When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus, I just feel like I'll just drop this here. When Jesus was talking to Nicodemus in John chapter 3, there's something that he said, which was important. He said, except a man be born again, cannot see the kingdom of God. So what it means is that, among other things, the being born again is the, entrance into the kingdom. But also, if you expand that revelation, it means that anything that you can have or acquire without being born again is not kingdom concepts, even though they can have it. Unbelievers are blessed tremendously. They are not born again. They understand, they're wise in their own generation how to do it. And if they know certain principles, maybe it works for them. In the kingdom, though, things are different. Things are different. When you come into the kingdom, it's different. There's a reason why God brings us to the kingdom. We want to understand that. If you're thinking and, desiring and expecting large increase and great blessings from the Lord beginning this year, and you need to understand why God will bring it to you. You know, there's a reason for it. It's not just for us to consume it upon ourselves only. You know, there is a purpose, there's a reason for it. You know, those that had excess, they brought and they shared, and other people, you know, and they had things in common and so on and so forth. Nobody said this is all mine and so on. This is what they did in the early church. That's the pattern in the New Testament. We haven't gotten there yet, but God is going there. And increase is so important for us, because even in our personal lives, we talked about the very, very first words out of the mouth of God to man when he created him was that the man should increase. That's the first thing that God said. Be fruitful and multiply. That's increase. You know, so, you know, if that was the first thing out of his mouth, then it's so important. And that's what God wants us, you know, to be doing, is to be increasing and multiplying and being fruitful. And if we're not the fruitful branch, then we become an unfruitful branch, which must be cast off. John chapter 15 talks about that. So there was a lot of lessons around increase. We gave examples of tremendous increase by inspiration, increase that came by inspiration. Anybody remember some stories of increase in the Bible that came by inspiration? There were many stories we told. Increase. You'd have to look mostly in the Old Testament for those stories, but there were a lot of them. But there were some very significant stories of how people got increase or transfer of wealth by inspiration of the Almighty, inspiration of God. Some examples in the Bible. Anybody would like to share?
Good morning. Good morning, Pastor. Good morning, Mommy. Are you able to hear me? I'm driving.
Yeah, we hear you, Baraka. Go ahead.
Okay, great. Thank you. I just want to share quickly, just because I'm going to have to hop off shortly. I won't be able to talk. I did want to just hop on to what Sister Sainan said and what I took from that increase. Those, I think you did like 3 days of increase, and how that spoke to me. Because for me personally, I think I gave that testimony in the beginning that when the Lord first called me to go back to school, I had an understanding that it wasn't for myself. It wasn't so that I can increase myself. I didn't understand it at that time. And it's been something that I've been praying about. And then even now, as we're not quite settled into a church, you know, and I'm saying, but Lord, you said we have to tithe, we have to give offerings. It's really been bothering me that, you know, I'm holding on to this money, and it's God's money. The 10% is his. And he said, you know, like, who wants to steal from God? So I've been really pressing, or kind of in prayer, saying, where should I put this money? You know, I don't have a church, so it's not like I'm sowing towards a church. And then when you spoke about increase, there's a lot of things that I think the Lord has been putting on my heart, which I'm not going to share, just it's personal. But what he's been showing me in terms of increase, in terms of inspiration for the Almighty, as you said, but in terms of the kingdom, is that the Lord has a plan, and it's bigger than what we see. So when we talk about increase, and I know we talked about it for that day, we talked about kind of helping out, you know, the brethren, you know, how can we increase in our community and just help each other. Sister Maggie gave great examples about medical care. But what the Lord has been pushing on my heart is that there are bigger things coming. He is planning big things. I was reading through the book of Isaiah, and I got to, I think it's Isaiah, I'm driving, so I think it was Isaiah 66, verse 19. And I was reading this, and I said, wow, so Lord, this is what you're doing. There is a regathering. There is a regathering that the Lord will be doing, and he is ushering in his kingdom. And when you talk about kingdom financiers, it's not just about how can we help the people around us. It's how can we put our money in to usher in that kingdom? And this is what the Lord has been putting on my heart personally. I know everybody is different. But I just wanted to share that in terms of increasing, just like in the New Testament, with Ananias and Sapphira, when they kind of held their money back and they lied about it. And, you know, the Lord is looking for kind of a gathering of wealth, but not just to say, oh, I'm helping my brethren and I'm doing this, but it's to usher in his kingdom. So I just wanted to put that in there. And I don't know, maybe you can read that 66 verse 19. And there are other things I wanted to say. I wanted to give example. I think when you talked about back in Genesis, when he said, you know, be fruitful and multiply and to increase, I wanted to bring that up as well. Just that we're not to be stagnant. He has a plan. But when you're making money and you're doing it for your own kind of selfish reasons, that's not in God's plan. And for me personally, number one, it starts with being able to give. And number one is to give back to God, both in tithes and offerings. So he's really been putting that on my heart. And that's something that I think if you learn to give that way, then it would be easier to understand kind of how God wants you to give and what the expectation is. So I'm just going to yield it here. Sorry, I have to hop off, but and sorry, I don't have an answer for your second question, but I'll just yield here. All right. God bless you.
Amen. Thank you, Sister Barakat. Well, thank you for sharing, even though you were driving and heading somewhere and you were still able to, you know, share for just a few minutes. And we appreciate that. And yes, truly, you know, there is a plan and a purpose of God putting things into our hands. You know, we've seen it so many times. Jesus put it in the hands of the disciples and they gave it to the people, and their leaders will be of themselves. You know, this is the plan of God, is bless certain folks that will put it in the hands of others and I'll use it to bless others as well. Not just for us to say, I've got 10 cars, you know, I've got $1 billion, you know, house, $1 million, this and that. I mean, well, that's good. I mean, for a man to enjoy the good of all his labor is the gift of God. But then what impact are you making in the kingdom? You know, that's more, you know, that's even more important. You can't carry that to anywhere. What we carry is the blessing impact we make in people's lives, not just financially, but financially too. And, you know, I really didn't want to get too much into, you know, giving and tithing and so forth, because, you know, people have been so misled and so badly taught on that they don't understand it, you know. But that doesn't mean that the truth must not be taught just because it's been taught wrongly. There's also the right way of doing that. You know, I alluded, you know, to something about, you eat in your favorite restaurant, but you pay somewhere else. You know, that was a proverb. Yeah, you know, I just put it out there. Let it always be interpreted to you what it means. You know, so, you know, God will show you how, you know, to use that, the increase that God is giving you to help the kingdom. And we must support our ministries, ministries that you are part of. You must support them. If you're a part of a local church, you must support them. If you're part of an online ministry, you must support them. Yeah, this is the way that, you know, that God, you know, does these things, you know, for the kingdom. It's all about the kingdom. And you, and everybody needs to pray about that and see what God is leading. You know, but if we have and we can't even give a little of what we have, you know, scripture says that, look, you know, a man is accepted in what they have, not what they don't have. You know, someone said to me one time, he said, when I get $1 million, I'm going to give a lot to the Lord. And I just laughed and I said back to them, no, you won't. Because God wants you, out of the $100 you have now, you know, you give. Because he that is faithful in little is the one that will be faithful in much. If you're not faithful in the little, and you say, when I make $1 million, I'll give. You won't. It's very clear in the scriptures. You know, if you can't give, you know, $10 out of what the 100 you have now, and you think that's too much, how in the world are you going to give $10,000 or $100,000 when you have $1 million? You won't. You know, so, you know, that's just a lesson. This was never about tithing or anything like that, but, you know, it comes out in part of the discussion. The increase is so important. Job chapter 8 verse 7 says, look, God wants us to increase. And don't be discouraged just because something starts small. See, this is the problem that many of us have. You're looking for, you know, something big, and then you despise something little. You know, the Bible says, who I despise the day of small things, be the eyes of the Lord. That can't despise. All of us start small. Nobody start big. Jesus himself started small. Look at how he started. Humble beginnings in a manger and everything. I mean, even though he owned everything, he showed us an example there. You know, things don't just, I mean, he didn't come from heaven blue with guns blazing and everything. He was born into a like a baby, helpless baby. You know, they have to even carry him all over the place, run to Egypt and everything, you know, because they were about to kill him. So this shows us how things are. You know, sometimes we're praying for a breakthrough. Let me talk about this now. People are looking for a breakthrough and God will give you something that looks little. But you look at it and say, well, what are these among so many? That's what the disciples said. You know, say, watch, you know, because somebody just gave them a small boy's lunch. They say, oh, what is this? This can't do anything. Well, who said? You know, in God's hands, he can do a lot. And God can take that little thing. That's what Job chapter 8 verse 7 means. Though the beginning is small, the latter end will greatly increase. It may start small, you know. You start with a small job, but you're looking for something big. Don't despise it. Don't worry about it. Be faithful in it, and God will show you bigger things. You know, that, you know, God will show you bigger things if you are faithful. But if you are not faithful in the little, well, you know, in Luke chapter 16, Jesus said, if you are being unfaithful in that which is another man's, who's going to give to you that which is yours or the true riches? And so when God testing us, puts us in a proving ground, we have a job. You're not faithful on that job. You're late. You don't do it well. You don't do it, you know, full-heartedly. I mean, you just do it anyhow, you know, and so on. Well, you know, who's going to give into your hand the true riches or that which is your own? These concepts are in the scriptures, ladies and gentlemen, and we need to meditate on it. You want to go into business for yourself, you know, then be faithful in someone else's business that you are doing right now. See, so, you know, you got to be. If you're not, well, then, you know, it's not going to work. So the, you know, the lessons that Jesus gave throughout the scriptures, you know, it's there. Let me read something to you in the book of Luke chapter 16. He said in verse 13 or so, what verse am I in? Verse 12. And if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? And this verse is in the Bible. Many people don't know it's there, but it is there. And Jesus said it. You know, if you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? Some people say, I want to be an entrepreneur. I want to go into business. I want to do this. But while you were working for somebody else, you were not faithful. You were never faithful there. And Jesus said, well, you were not faithful in somebody else's own. Who's going to give you your own? It's not going to happen. You know, if you stumble into it, maybe that's why we're not making good success in those things. Clean up first your act while you are working for somebody else. Show to God that you are a faithful steward. That's right. In somebody who's somebody else's. And then God will put in your hand some real stuff. And, you know, he also talks about, you know, who's going to put into your hand the true riches if you are being unfaithful in the unrighteous mammon. You read the earlier verse before that, in verse 11. You're unfaithful in the unrighteous mammon. God gives you, you know, some little thing. You don't handle it well. Who's going to give you the real increase of the kingdom? It's not going to happen. Every time you get an increase on your job, you go on a shopping spree, you buy up the whole store that which you don't need. You know, that's how you get in. That's how you deal with increase that comes your way. Well, you will never have real increase. That's what this scripture is saying. And let me read it to you again. Luke chapter 16 and verse 11. If therefore ye have been unfaithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? These concepts are in the Bible. I know I didn't go into all of these, you know, during the lesson, but this is part, still part of the lesson. So whether it comes during review or during the lesson, it's all the same. So let's think about that. The real riches and true riches are coming to those who have been faithful and know how to deal with it. You know, and if you can dish it out, God would get it to you. But you got to use wisdom also in dishing it out. We talked about that the other day. You know, some people, you know, like to come in there as parasites. You got to use wisdom to discern that. You know, but God, you know, if we have good motives and we prove ourselves faithful, God will get, you know, put us in a place where we can be a channel of blessing. Make me a channel of blessing. It's a song we used to sing like that. Would you like to be a channel of blessing, or is your concept of increase just for you to become something great, amass wealth for yourself only? Well, I mean, it's a good thing to prosper, but God prospers us so that we can be a blessing to the kingdom, the work of the ministry, and to others. That's why God puts these things out there. So increase is good. Let's learn it. I see that Sister Chelsea came up. God bless you, Sister Chelsea. You want to share? Please go ahead.
Good morning. How are you all? I just want to come up because really what Barakat said, it actually inspired me to go ahead and just, you know, kind of share my perspective as well. It was something you said on Monday about like the wealth transfer. And sorry, I'm driving, so like my brain is like doubly focused. But it was so impactful that I had to text Ore because I was like, "Hey, girl, come listen in on Pastor Yato. I don't know if you're in here or not, but like what you said was something she and I talked about." Because of something God had put literally in our hearts to do in regards to business. And the business is not for us. It's for the kingdom in which God wants to do something to us, but also through us. For me, in one aspect in 2021, while I went through an unexpected traumatic divorce, I ended up as becoming a single mom unexpectedly. And I moved in with one of my best friends. And so just to kind of give me a start over, basically. And I'm sitting there at the dinner table, and I was just praying. And I was like, God, what am I doing? Like, what am I doing in life now? Like, what is it you want out of me out of this? Because I wasn't expecting any of these things. And I never forget. I literally heard like this question, what is it you want? And I was like, was that me? anyway, long story short, I started thinking about how I wanted to help other women get into buying homes and having safe housing. And that grew into these continuous questions he asked, which was, so if you were to be blessed with real estate, what would you do with it? And the first thought of mine was about helping other women that I know that have gone through difficulties finding adequate housing, because where I was living, they were increasing rents and things like that, making it very unaffordable to live and forcing, you know, people in certain income levels to live in impoverished areas because the places where they want to live is just too expensive. And so as I was like thinking about those things, it was like the question was, is it all about money for you? And I was thinking, well, of course I do need a good amount to live for me and my daughter, but money comes and money goes. That's the way it's supposed to. And, but if your money can help someone else, well, then your money has gone a long way. And that's literally how my like mind was thinking about these questions. Again, this is me having like this internal conversation with God, right? And then next thing you know, he just started downloading all these ideas of how he wanted me to get into real estate. And I'm sitting here like, how am I going to teach somebody how to buy a home? And I'm literally living at my friend's house after going through a traumatic divorce. And it just made no sense. It made no earthly sense, but it made a lot of heavenly sense. And so fast forward to today, I've now, you know, been given a mentor to kind of teach me what I need to do and how I need to do real estate to help others. And through my readings, from reading in Isaiah, Ezekiel, and Revelation, when Baraka said that she wanted to put money into the kingdom because of something that's coming, it was like a dog whistle to me, because there is something that is coming. And if you read at the end of Ezekiel, there is a, God is trying to get his people in place to be prepared for the things that he is going to do for them. He needs kingdom assigned people in many different industries. He needs them in real estate. He needs them in banking. He needs them in healthcare. He needs them in teaching and in many different areas. And he is putting those desires in them so that they can do it his way, because the enemy has gone long enough having it done in his way. But God is literally putting it, whether it is you're big into therapy and you just have all these ideas on how to help children or help people that are dealing with traumatic situations, and he's showing you how to do that, but with intertwining kingdom principles into your therapy service. Like, he's literally like getting people who are willing to say that I want to be a river of blessings and not a reservoir to hold it for myself. He is literally like putting this in us, but along the way we have to continue in his principles, in his commandments, in his ways, kind of like Joseph in Genesis. Despite the fact that he went through many hardships, he continued to walk with the Lord. And so then when the time came, so that when the famine came, he was able to be in a position. Most people will say, what? He's with Pharaoh. He's pagan. He's this. But God placed him there through Joseph's obedience to be in position. So when the famine came, God's people could eat. You see what I'm saying? Those 12 tribes of Judah was able to eat and continue his people for a long time. It may not always look like what we think it should be. Some others, you know, may not understand that maybe there might be times that God has you work with people that aren't believers. But what he is trying to get done, you just be obedient to it. Like Esther, our Bible study with Lola, we've been going over Esther. Esther was placed in the kingdom with King, some people say Xerxes, some people say Ahasuerus. I don't know which one to say. But either way, he was the Persian king. Not of the Most High God, not of the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He was pagan. But she was in place, as well as Mordecai, so that the people would be saved, right? And so even when you go further into the New Testament, the Holy Spirit was an interest that we received from the deposit made of Jesus's death, blood, death, burial, resurrection. The tomb, that Joseph of Arimathea, the fact that he had the money to put Jesus in that tomb, the tomb that was an interest from what obedience Joseph did in the past. Jesus was able to, you know, utilize that interest so that he could be buried in a tomb. And then the disciples and us as people now get the deposit of the Holy Spirit. We get to live off the interest of that deposit of Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, so that we now can have right standing with God, have a relationship with God where we don't have to go travel to a priest. So we have received interest in many different ways, spiritually, physically, monetarily, in many different ways. And so I just kind of want to also say that as well. Like, it's not, like you said, just about financials, but it is also about what has he deposited in you to grow spiritually, to grow deeper with him, and so that others can receive what he has put in you to get through you to get to someone else. So that was it.
My goodness. Woohoo. And I put in the chat myself, preach it, Sister Chelsea. My goodness. She downloaded some stuff there. Well, that's good stuff. That's right where it's at. You know, you, God wants you to be a river of blessings, she said, not a reservoir. You just keep it for yourself. Oh my goodness. And I've been trying to say that, not in those exact words, but trying to say it in the same ways that, look, if you know how to give it away, you got to be a river that breaks into streams. God will always make a way to get it to you. Yeah, that's what God is doing. And I want to read a scripture which she alluded to. This may have been the one that she said I read on Monday or whatever, but I want to read it. And I didn't go too deep into it, but I'm going to talk about it now. In the book of Jeremiah 30 and verse 19, and out of them shall proceed thanksgiving and the voice of them that shall make merry. And I will multiply them and they shall not be few, and I will glorify them and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as aforetime, and their congregation shall be established before me. Sister Titilayo latched onto that yesterday. And I'll punish all them that oppress them. And this is the one that I was talking about. You know, this was a revelation. I just dropped it at that time. I didn't go too deep into it, but it's very powerful. Listen to this in verse 21. And their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governor shall proceed from the midst of them. And I said, look, God wants you to be the one that will hiring people, nobles, you know, hire. You'll be the one in charge. You got business. You got, you know, use it to do, do good to others. Your nobles, their governors. And I will cause him to draw near and approach unto me. Who is it that engaged his heart to approach unto me? I mean, you understand what God is trying to do, you know? Yeah, if there somebody in the room that understands it, well, God's going to, you know, walk with you. And that's why the Lord is saying, look, write the vision, make it plain. We're trying to make this thing plain, even though some of it is still couched. I didn't go too deep into it, but that's it. You know, when you get on there, God, when you give, you have the right heart, you understand how it works. And God is going to use you. And I like the story she told about God positioning Joseph, God positioning Esther, and so forth. Yeah. You know, there are different places that God will position us in. In fact, when Paul was saying, look, I've written to you that you should not company with fornicators, he said, look, but not exactly the people in this world, because otherwise you're going to have to leave the world. So, you know, it doesn't mean, look, Daniel flourished in the kingdom of Babylon. It wasn't even a godly kingdom. You know, the Babylon, and even in the reign of Darius and Persia and so forth, they flourished wherever you are. Praise God. And, this God wants us to step up and do some things, you know, but there's a few people that will understand it, you know, others will not. But let me read it. You a quick story here in the book of Judges. I've preached on this before. I didn't touch on this in this particular series, but you know, since we're on this subject, let me read this. In Judges chapter 9, let me read this to you from verse 8. The trees went forth at a time to anoint a king over them. Now, many scriptures use trees to represent people. And they said unto the olive tree, come and reign over us. And the olive tree said, should I leave my fatness wherewith, you know, by me they honor God and man and be go to promoted over the trees? He said, no, I'm not going to do it. Okay. So they said to the fig tree, come thou and reign over us. And the fig tree said, should I forsake my sweetness and my good fruit and go to be promoted over the trees? No, I'm not going to do it. Okay. So they said to the vine, come down and reign over us. And the vine said, should I leave my wine, which shared God and man, go to be promoted over the trees? I mean, none of these people wanted to venture. They went to the good trees. Reign over us. You know, because the God said, thy leaders shall be of you. You come reign over us. They said, no. I don't want to leave my comfort zone. Okay. Well, then they went to the rubbish tree. See, after the good trees rejected the invitation to be the rulers, to be the leaders, yeah, they said, you know, it's okay, fine, we'll go to the rubbish tree. So they now went to the rubbish tree. the bramble tree, come and reign over. I say, yeah, of course. You know, and my fire would devour you. You know, and that's how, you know, the rubbish tree has spoiled the people of God, because the good trees will not step up. You know, but when you begin to understand this, maybe someday we'll go more into this. We're not there yet. So there's some things that God will not permit me to get too deep into just because it's not the time. But we'll be dropping it here and there, and people will pick up on it and run with it. But it is so important that those of us that understand the truth, you want to be like these good trees. You want to be the olive tree. You want to be the fig tree. You want to be the vine. You know, you don't want to, the, you know, and take our positions, the rightful places, you know, and then if not, then they're going to turn to the bramble tree, which is a rubbish tree. And that's what has happened. The oppressing tree, the one with the thorns and different things. And they've turned to that. And so that's where we see the kingdoms of this world flourishing. But there is a promise in Daniel chapter 2 that in the days of all these kings, God will set up a kingdom. Hallelujah. You know, it may not look like it at first, but it is happening. Some of these teachings must be put out there so people understand. God is now setting up a kingdom that's going to smash that image. Well, no, if you look at the news today, especially in America, it doesn't look quite like it. The wealth is in the hands of a few, you know, the few oligarchy that have all the wealth, you know, that are trying to control the people even more so now. But, you know, that's only for a time. God will smash that image. It's going to happen. And, you know, in the millennium, it's not going to be the bramble tree that's going to be reigning then. Oh, no. You know, this is the picture of what God really wants to do. He's shown us in the millennium. But we don't have to wait to the millennium to get there. It's just a struggle for people to understand it now. But that's what God really wants to do. That's the end state of where the kingdom of God should look like. And if we understand it, we can begin to bring in everlasting righteousness and anoint the Most Holy right now. Begin to do these things. And God will help us. But it starts small. Start in your own little sphere of influence. You're not going to rule over the world today. Just, you know, bear the rule over your brethren and your community. You know, lead by example where you are. You know, that's it. You know, lead from where you are. This is how we start. A little beginning, small beginnings, and greater endings. Powerful, powerful shares this morning. Thank you, Sister Chelsea. Praise the Lord. Well, ladies and gentlemen, we are on the subject of the Epic Series Review. And anything that comes to mind that you want to share, that the Holy Spirit brings to your mind, feel free on any of these areas. We've talked about increase. Now, let me go quickly to celebration. You know, it'll all culminate, we said, in celebration this year. A lot of celebrations for us. Praise the Lord. Now, right off the bat, I want to read one scripture for us. I didn't get it in during the lesson. I read it towards the end of yesterday's room. And so people might, you know, have missed it. But I want to read it to us. You know, a lot of celebrations that God promised, you know, the voice of joy, the voice of celebration, the voice of, you know, those who are, it was saying, praise the Lord, the voice of the bridegroom, the voice of the, you know, bride. So let me read it to you in Jeremiah chapter 33 and verse 10. Thus said the Lord, again there shall be heard in this place, which ye have said is desolate. Well, maybe there are a lot of desolations, a lot of losses in our lives up to this time. But this year, by the grace of God, he said, these things, I'm going to turn these things around. It's going to be the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, verse 11. The voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride. So we have weddings and stuff coming. And the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord. Well, that's celebrations. The voice of them that shall make merry and all that. Say the Lord is good. The voice of, you know, happiness and joy. joy, sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord. This is what God is going to do for us this year. So all of the things leading up to the celebrations, you know, and all the places where have been in, you know, desolate, God's going to bring recovery, you know, habitation of shepherds, causing their flocks to lie down. Well, again, this is part of the leaders who be of themselves, habitation of shepherds. We're hoping, our hope by the grace of God is through some of these teachings, though they be small, God can take it and enlarge something. Remember, the big sycamore tree and the big, you know, these big trees start as a little seed at first, you know, just a little seed. Jesus said, you know, take this little tiny mustard seed and grow into something else. So the little droppings here and there of messages in this room, even though we don't, you know, go too much in the deep. And, you know, some of these things that we're teaching, people can go out in the marketplace and try to teach them and make you pay thousands of dollars for them. But you're getting them for free here. And because it's free, people don't really value it, you know, too much. You got to put a price tag, a heavy price tag on some training in order for people to value it. But God is giving to us free here. Take advantage of it. Praise the Lord. So that's the epic series. I'm going to open my, I'm going to yield my mic now and open the floor again for more shares on the epic series. We still got a little more time. So if you'd like to share anything that came to mind, please go ahead. Praise the Lord.
Amen. Good morning, everyone. Good morning, Pastor Adolf. Good morning, Lady Evans. Good morning and good afternoon. I thank the Lord for this series. Yeah, it's been a great blessing, and the review has added more to it. So God be the glory. I thank everyone that has spoken. I've been blessed. Amen. Yeah, so a lot of things happened to me in this series. Like I was sharing the other time, some inspiration the Lord is giving me, and the understanding of there's nothing called old age, you know, those limiting factors and complacency and stuff and stuff and stuff. Amen. Yeah, but the major thing that I want to testify about is that I thank the Lord for this series, and I thank the Lord that I was able to, like, open up a little bit. And that opening up a little bit did something to me. I thank the Lord for that. It has helped to deliver me and encourage me to keep on pushing, you know, in that direction that the Lord led me initially. You know, I talked about feeling like this snail, that's the, I don't know what they call that thing, those two things that come up on the snail. I talked about like touching it and the snail will just go back to its shell. Yeah, so it happened. You know, it's like a testimony because of this message. So God be the glory. Thank you so much, Pastor Yaro. God bless you, sir. Yeah, these messages, they work with us in different ways, lifting us up, liberating us, pushing us on and stuff like that. So it happened during my 50th, you know, I was preparing for my 50th birthday, and the Lord led me to Leviticus. And in that Leviticus chapter 25, in fact, when I was reading that, you know, that time, that chapter 25 and chapter 26, I was weeping because the Lord really touched me concerning the brethren, you know. A lot of things were said in that Leviticus 25 to me about my brother and how to deal with my brother and things like that. You know, like, I can't go deeply into it the way the Lord spoke to me then, that did something to me. That, like, verse 35, it was saying, and if thy brother be waxing poor, that is Leviticus 25, and falling in decay with thee, then thou shalt relieve him. Yea, though he be a stranger or a sojourner, that he may live with thee. The Lord said a lot of things about helping the brethren, you know, like if something happens and, you know, they get into poverty or lack or something, how you should help them, you know, to come up, you know, bearing one another's burden, sharing and things like that. You know, it's like verse 46 is a long chapter. Like that verse 46, it was saying, and ye shall take them as an inheritance for your children after you, to inherit them for a possession. They shall be your bondmen forever. But over your brethren, the children of Israel, ye shall not rule one over another with rigor. He spoke a lot of things. And then somewhere he was saying in that verse 48, no, to 50, it was talking about how to redeem, you know, if thy brother is being sold out because of this and so on. That chapter touched me that I wept, and for weeks and weeks, I couldn't catch myself. It was just as if the Lord stood before me and was telling me stuff that I can't go into. And he also led me to Deuteronomy. And in that Deuteronomy chapter, it was chapter 15. And I think from verse 7 or so, it was saying, if there be among you a poor man of one of thy brethren within any of thy gates in thy land which the Lord thy God giveth thee, thou shalt not harden thine heart, nor shut thy hand from thy poor brother, but thou shalt open thy hand wide unto him, and shalt surely lend him sufficient for his need, in that which he wanted. Beware that there be not a thought in thy wicked heart, saying, the seventh year, the year of release, is at hand, and thine eye be evil against thy poor brother, and thou givest him not, and he cry unto the Lord against thee, and it be a sin unto thee. Thou shalt surely give him, and thine heart shall not be grieved when thou givest unto him, because that for this thing the Lord thy God shall bless thee in all that thy works, and in all that thou puttest thy hand unto. For the poor shall not cease out of the land. Therefore, I command thee, saying, thou shalt open thy hand wide unto thy brother, and to thy poor, and to thy needy in thy land. All these things that I read then did things to me and changed me. And I started this ministry that I called Bowel of Mercy and Compassion Ministry. I didn't broadcast it, but I had it written down, and I kept it within me. And I was working with that. And I was, to the glory of God, giving, lending to whosoever, and things and things and things. And then the thing struck, and I couldn't go on. Even the hospital, it struck before I left, but I still was like, okay, I could still do this. Okay, I could still do this, but finally, I gave up. But thank God for this ministration from the Lord to us. I was able to open my mind up a little bit and talked about those brethren that would borrow and would never return and would close down stuff and so on. You know, the thing got me so much. The place I wrote all that I was to do in that, you know, like I wrote it down and I was following it. This Bowel of Mercy and Compassion Ministry. I took the thing, I tore it off, I threw it away. That was how wounded I was. But the Lord began to speak. And when I opened my mouth and I said it out, and Pastor began to talk, it was like when a baby is crying and you start rubbing the baby down and saying, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. And the baby will just pick up. The child will just pick up and be strengthened again, like, okay, reporting. My brother beat me. My brother beat me. And then the parent starts cuddling and begging and doing all that. And there will be a kind of relief. That was the way I felt. And while I was feeling like that, this scripture came to me. I don't even know how that scripture came. I just remembered the man that built the rich fool. And I said, the rich fool. So I went looking and I saw it in Luke chapter 12, where this man had so much. The stuff for this man increased. The man became rich. And one of the companies said unto him, that is to Jesus, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesses. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God. When I read that, everything changed. Everything changed. And I was like, okay. I got courage to go on. Like, okay, let me pull out from my shell. And surprisingly, this God, surprisingly, as I just took the decision that, okay, I'll return. And I'll start doing it I don't have as much as those days, but I'll start doing it in a little way that the Lord enables me. This ministry of bowel of mercy and compassion for the brethren. So I just got a call. And when I got this call, this is this brother in so much need, in millions and all kind of things happening and so on. So I was like, should I go in? No. Yes. I was in, but I thank God for this message. It has helped me to pull myself together and to start all over from where I stopped. Though it may be little, it could be like Pastor used to say, is it Job chapter 8 verse 7? Small beginning. I don't know where God is taking it to, but I'm grateful. And when I opened my mouth and told that brother, oh, okay, I'll do this, I'll do. The brother said, let me tell you something, mommy. I've not been able to sleep for weeks now because of this matter. But now I'm going to sleep. That was like a kind of, I don't know what to call it, tonic or something to me to forge forth in what the Lord is ministering to my spirit concerning that ministry to reactivate it. So I want to thank the Lord for that. I'm so grateful that the Lord used this platform to heal my wound and to give me a fresh start in that which I wanted to do, because I was motivated from Leviticus 25 and Deuteronomy chapter 15. And I took the decision, but the devil came to scatter the whole thing. But I thank God that the Lord is pulling together everything again in Jesus' name. And I pray this time, more wisdom now. It wouldn't be like before. And I believe the Holy Spirit will sustain it in Jesus' name. He will sustain it and it will serve the purpose to the glory of the Lord. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful. Thank you, everyone. I picked up from what Pastor said, from the shares and everything, and it has healed me. To God be the glory. Amen. Thank you very much for listening. I will yield my mic. God bless you, Pastor. God bless you. Amen. I yield my mic.
Amen, 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 and amen. Well, it is the year also of prophetic repairs. Remember, repairs. And so God is repairing. God will make you so, you know, the Lord said you will be the repairer of the breach. You will be a restorer of paths to dwell in. And so these messages, by the grace of God, they will help to restore broken breaches, restore paths to dwell in, and all these things. You know, this is what we believe God is doing. And we give him all the praise and the glory. And, you know, remember Proverbs chapter 3 and verse 5, Sister Maggie, you know, only lean not to your own understanding. You know, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean to your understanding. You know, say, well, how can I do this? You know, I don't even have millions stashed up. You know, I'm struggling. I have this and that. You know, that's not your concern. You know, your concern is, are you available? That's the concern. You know, are you available? You know, remember, he put the little slices of bread and the slices of fish, just few like that, into the hands of the disciples. Were they available? That's the thing. Are they available to go and give it to the companies of 50s and so forth? But, you know, as they were dishing it out, they had the opportunity to keep on believing or doubt. You know, you have to either be believing that this little that is in your hand can feed the 50s. And after you finish feeding the 50, you see that the thing is still in your hand, then go on to the next 50. You don't feed the whole 5,000 at once. That's the reason why Jesus did it like that. Don't worry about the 5,000. You just handle this little one over here in this corner. When you finish that, see, you know, as you're still believing that the stuff is still in your hand, then move on to the next 50. Then move on to the next 50. Then move on to the next 50. Yeah, that's how you do it before you try to feed the 5,000 all at once. So, you know, there's a lot of wisdom in all these scriptures that are in the Bible. And Jesus just dropped those things and put those writings there. He didn't go into too much detail. But as the Holy Spirit can begin to expand these things to us when we do these teachings, and you begin to see, my goodness, this is why he said that. This is why he made them do that. Yeah. So what's in your hands, Sister Maggie? That's the question. You know, what's in your hand? You know, you have to answer that to the Lord. You know, that which is in your hand is enough. With the Lord, it's always enough. A small one shall become a great nation, a little one, 1,000. It's already, you know, God put this out there. And if we say, and I was saying today, you know, to the person, and I was just saying that story, you know, but I think it's applicable to what you just said now. The person that was telling me some time ago that, oh, when I have $1 million, I will do this and I will do that for the kingdom. And I just said, no, you will not. You know, do it now. You know, do it now. You know, what is acceptable to God is what you have now, not what you don't have. You know, if you have something in your hand right now, even though it's only a handful, that's what God wants. He doesn't want the whole world. He already owns the whole world, but he needs us in a place of obedience. A place of obedience. And this call is not for everybody. It's not everybody that God, you know, it's not God. Jesus had so many disciples, but it was only into hands of few that he put, maybe 12, you know, out of the 70 or whatever, you know, but it's not, the call is not for everybody. The call to do this, you know, the Holy Spirit will trigger in your heart. If the Holy Spirit is triggering this in your heart, then just say yes. And then the rest, God will be, and it was a test. You know, the call that came was a test. You know, and the Holy Spirit is dealing with our hearts. He wants to see where your heart is at. Praise the Lord. Yeah, you know, that's it. And the Holy Spirit, and thank God that you yielded. And I want to pray for you right now. Baseka doshila baureka sundabai. Rabodishi Karina Basundela to Kaike Matori and Asila. Riandala Karuma Tasheria Bosai. Lord, I pray for your daughter and as many in this room also that the Lord will touch their hearts to do whatever it is that the Lord wants you to do. The Lord said, come out and stand right here. That's what he's saying to you right now. Come and stand here. Praise God. And then look all around you. Praise God. Lord, I pray for this kind of clarity and the kind of vision that you tell us, come out and stand here where you can see, you know, get all the things that are in your line of sight. Get them out of your line of sight and come out here and then stand, see and look all around you. All that you can see, I will give you. But you may not start big or start little. But though that beginning was small, yet it shall greatly increase in the hands of, in your hands, after the Lord put it back, the blessed thing back into your hands. And so, Father, I pray for your daughter as she has opened up here today and as many. I use her as a point of touch and a point of contact. I cover them with these prayers. I cover you, Stamagi, with these prayers, and I cover everybody else in this room with these prayers. For the little Stabarakat, I cover her with, you know, she's said some things, Chelsea. These people have said some things. You know, the Lord sees what's in your heart, you know, what he wants you to do. And I cover you with these prayers, even today, in the name of the Lord Jesus, as many as will hear his voice and they follow him. And say, look, that's my sheep. They know my voice and they follow me, you know, and they will not follow strange voices. And I pray that the grace of God to have wisdom, the grace of God to do this and have wisdom to do it. And it's people in this platform also that are doing what God has called them, that sent town, your lighthouse project. I pray for people who have positioned themselves in this place that God has put them to do things that the Lord has called them to do. It's all there. And God will bless it. Praise God. Cattle on 1,000 hills is mine, he said. What will you give me? God doesn't want anything. He just wants your yes. And what you have is already enough. That's what Jesus told Andrew. He says, it's enough. Whatever you have is enough. Just bring it. Hallelujah. And then put a blessing and put it back in your hands. And then you go do. You go take care of the 50. Don't worry about the 5,000. Just take care of the 50. Then after that, move on to something else. Praise the Lord. Father, I thank you. Bless the hearts of your people. And we give you, Lord, the praise and glory for allowing our words to be a blessing to your people. It's a clarion call. There's a clarion call going out in these messages to everybody. You know, not only is God going to bless you tremendously yourself this year, but there will be some special people that God will bless, you know, that can really be that channel of blessing. It's not everybody. Sir Julia was saying one thing. She said, the Lord showed her that there will be millionaires. Well, those millionaires, they're only coming when they can understand what it is that God wants them to do. God's not interested in pouring anything to somebody who's going to be a reservoir. You know, we heard it today. God's looking for somebody who's going to be a river. There's a river. Hallelujah. The streams whereof shall bless the house of God. God is looking for those rivers that will break forth into streams that will bless the house of God. That's the word of God to us here this morning. There is a river. The streams whereof shall refresh, shall make glad the house of God. Now, will you be that river on here this morning? Will you be that river? God's looking for that river. He doesn't want a reservoir. He wants that river. Praise God. And God bless everyone that understands this. The Lord, you know, bless you in the thing that you're committed into God's hands. He's able. He's able. Praise God. Now, I thank the Lord for our shares this morning. Remember, when we stand before the Lord, there's a question that all of us will have to answer. The things that we are struggling with, that we never got victory over, You're going to have to answer this question. The question is this: why did you not trust me with that? That's the question that we're going to answer. You know, some of the hurt and some of the whatever let down and so forth that made us to shrink back into our shell. Well, thank God that Sister Maggie is trusting the Lord with that. Because that's the question you're going to have to answer when you come and stand before the Lord. Why did you not trust me with that? See, so as the Lord is speaking to us in these rooms, let's trust him with our weaknesses, our areas of failure and our areas of, you know, where we've suffered loss and been disappointed and so forth. Trust the Lord with those things. Cast those things upon him. He careth for you. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Well, I cover everybody with that prayer. In Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm going to take one more share before we close in an exciting room today. And I see where the Lord is going with this. But I thank God. You know, this room today started small. At the beginning, it looked like nobody was going to talk. Thank you, Lady Ebon, for jumping in when at first nobody was talking. But look at where at the end now, it's exciting. See what the Lord is saying. See what the Lord is doing. Praise the Lord. All right, take one more share before we close for today. You know, sometimes there are some people that raise their hands. Apologies, but we can't seem to get them on stage like Sister Choice. She did raise her hand. We tried. Other people tried. We couldn't get her on stage. I'm not sure what that's all about. You know, but the Lord knows our hearts. If it was a share that you wanted to share, sorry that you couldn't get to do it. But if you needed prayer, we'll pray over that hand raising as well. Father, I want to pray for Sister Choice. I'm not sure why she raised her hand, but I pray for her in that situation. I pray for others that want to say something at different times, but can't, you know, get to the platform to say it. I pray the Holy Spirit, he knows, he draws that out of our hearts, and he knows that. And I pray the Holy Spirit hover over that situation, whatever is in their mind, in Jesus' name. I pray for everyone also that's in this room that, you know, as they begin to see, the Holy Spirit begins to, you know, Holy Spirit will never, listen, ladies and gentlemen, Holy Spirit will never condemn you. Never. Capital N-E-V-E-R. Will never condemn you. He will convict you. The conviction is to bring you to the cross. Condemnation is to send you away. He will never condemn you. But as he convicts you and brings you to the place where he wants you to be, I pray that the Lord will give us the grace to say amen. That's all he wants. And if we can say amen, don't run away like Jonah was trying to run away. No, don't do that. You know, put yourself in the place where God can use you. And God has, you know, different things for every one of us. Not all of us will be the same way and do the same thing. You know, sometimes we make mistakes about that. We think that God wants all of us to do the same. No. You know, even the most sacred things in this Bible, that God, there's some things that God wants all of us to do. You know, but some people have more grace to do it better. You know, like be a witness, do it this and that and so forth. We can all be a witness wherever you are. You know, and that some of the lessons we've shared today will tell you that. But some people have specialized grace for special things. And so, you know, walk in your grace. Walk in the calling that God has given you. And remember, when Jesus spoke to Peter, he said, feed my lambs and do this and that. And Peter, in his mind, you know, was saying, well, what about John? And Jesus said, well, what about John? What is it to you? I'm talking to you. I'm not talking to John. Forget about John. Focus on what I'm having you do. See, that's the problem many times with us. Is, well, why is the other person not? Don't worry about the other person. Just worry about yourself. You're the one that God is speaking to, you know. God will speak to them and deal with them in their own time. Encourage them, give them a lifter up, help, and so forth. But don't worry about them. Don't be judgmental or critical about anybody. Who art thou that judgeth another man's servant? You can't do it. To his master, he standeth or falleth. And the Bible say, well, the Lord will raise him up because his master is able to raise him up. So let's pray for one another that God will raise us up to stand in the place that God wants us to be. You know, but don't worry about the other person. You know, just focus on what God wants you to do. Don't be that Peter that says, but what about John? Don't worry about the John. You do your thing that God's put in your hands to do. And if God will have us stand in our place and do not break ranks, you know, like Joel Salmin, then he'll don't do great things. Just do the thing that God's calling you to do. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's going to be a wrap for today. Thank you for being here. It's been a great time. We appreciate you. Thank you for joining us. We will be back tomorrow by the grace of God. Same time, and let's meditate on these things. A lot of things have come out in these lessons, and I am excited, I am thrilled, and I am blessed. You know, and feel free, you know, to reach out if you have any additional questions. If you don't get a chance to ask it here on the platform, feel free to reach out. And God is walking here. And he will continue to bless us. Praise God. Thank you all for your support, for being here daily to support the room. I'll carry this message. That's what Paul told Timothy. Give this message to faithful men who can also give it to others. Carry these lessons to others. Let's see how the word of God will prevail and grow and multiply. Praise the Lord. I pray that you have a great day, everybody. The Lord bless you. Your steps will not falter. You will not sleep. You know, you walk straight on. Keep your eyes straight on and so forth, the Bible says. And it shall be well with you. Your hands that are on the plow, you know, it will not be weakened. Stay right there with the Lord. Your hands that have laid the foundation, your hands will also finish it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. This year has begun for you. Your epic story has started. Go forth in the name of the Lord and prosper and prevail. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord in Jesus' name. Amen. Good morning and good afternoon. Blessings to you. The room will now close. We'll see you tomorrow by the grace of God. Amen.